This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This is a pause here on Joy News, and we've been bringing you the 3i Africa Conference, which is underway at the Kempinski Hotel. The next stage of the event is the roundtable discussion on some key national and international issues. And we'll take you back to the Kempinski Hotel when they are ready with the roundtable discussion. But before we do that, we have something for you this afternoon. And this is a pause here on Joy News. We are also keeping an eye on the Electoral Commission update of the limited voter registration exercise. We have a news conference that is also coming up pretty shortly. And then we'll engage with the various political parties on what they make up of the limited registration exercise so far. There's been a lot of accusations and counter-accusations. There's been an arrest. Now, today, the court granted Collins Dauda bail after he was picked up by the police for disrupting the electoral process in his constituency. We'll have that. We are watching that also for you. And we've got reaction from the NDC, who said that the police is just being selective in the application of the law regarding the conduct of the limited voter registration exercise. The MPP has a reaction to this. And of course, we'll bring you the latest from the exercise when the Electoral Commission is ready with that news conference. So those are some of the issues we have for you this afternoon right here on The Pulse here on Joy News, of course, with me, Elton Brobe. But some other stories. The parliamentary candidate of the National Democratic Congress in the Hafuano South East constituency of the Ashanti region is accusing his MPP opponent of habitual busing of non-residents for the ongoing limited voter registration exercise. Mohamed Yakubu alleges Fred Achampon has, since the onset of the exercise, brought in people outside the constituency to register. Now, on Saturday, two people were reportedly injured following rioting after a group attempted to prevent two students from registering their details in the voters' album. Speaking to Love FM in Kumasi, Mohamed Yakubu said he has cautioned the MPP parliamentary candidates against the habitual busing of illegitimate individuals.
I think from the start of the registration, my colleague, Frederick Achi, has been a constant member of only...
A fifth of the babies who come in will end up dying.
This is impactful journalism. The storytelling that stretches your imagination and shines a light on the underreported issues.
Normally, if you talk, doesn't change people. Let them see it.
This is impactful journalism. It is fearless, independent journalism that reshapes thoughts and crushes stereotypes.
But I had no more strength in me again.
The person must be made to know that what you have done, yes, it would have deserved murder.
This is impactful journalism. It provides context and meaning to the different perspectives.
Children are born with sin. And therefore, if you don't baptize them, and they die as...
You don't understand the struggles.
You are only trying to let him understand that what he's doing is so bad. But what I don't understand is that whatever happened there was something that has to do on a mutual grounds, personally myself and him. And the guys who came there, with the guns and cutlasses, are people that Frederick Achampon and Dr. Nsia Asare, who is a special advisor to the president, ordered to come with methods and guns. But what I didn't know was that I left the scene for a meeting in Mankran, so only to be called that these people are in forcefully and shooting people. That is where I don't understand. because per my accession with him, there was not supposed to be any violence. It was supposed to be a smooth exercise.
Alfredo Champon is debunking the allegations as he insists the registrants are members of the community. He's blaming the NDC candidates for instigating the scuffle that injured at least two persons.
This is an undue misrepresentation of fact. First of all, I have told you the circumstances surrounding these people, including somebody I am not even related to in any form, not by region or not by blood, someone who comes from the upper east or upper west or something. Ordinarily, we need to give back to the community. So these are kids I've gathered, apart from my direct nephews, these are kids I've gathered from the community that I take care of them in school. And so on vacation, they'll come to me before they even go to the village. How are you able to determine that they are not residents of their district? And what happened to the electoral laws? That if you suspect or you're suspicious of anything, you file a challenge form. Why did you bring the people and physically assaulted the young men and women, physically preventing them from entering the place to register? He was the orchestrator of everything that happened. When the Adjuma chief came and asked, when he saw the NDC people pushing and, you know, destroying everything, pushing our people around, he came from his residence and asked. So he was grieved and he was surprised. So he invited him, Yakubu, and myself, and took us to the district director of election. The man read out the electoral laws to us and said that the people are eligible to write their name. If you have any, you should just pick up challenge form. And he said, and they've been doing that plenty. And he said, okay, that's why we brought a lot of challenge form. We brought over 1,000 challenge forms. So just challenge, instead of you physically preventing the young men and women from.
And we'll stay on the limited voter registration exercise because it's been marred by violence and other skirmishes. Now, the Ghana police has also interdicted three police personnel for their failure to perform their duty professionally during the registration exercise in the Ashanti region. And they have a statement regarding the interdiction that they have undertaken. And according to the police, they've interdicted three police personnel with immediate effects over their failure to perform their duty professionally in the ongoing limited voter registration exercise. And the police say that the affected person, Inspector Michael Addo, Eric Buache, and Constable Michael Jam, on the 11th of May, failed to perform in a proper manner a duty imposed on them as officers in the charge of security at the Electoral Commission office at Adujama in the Ashanti region. When some persons attempted to disrupt the ongoing limited voter registration exercise. And so the interdicted persons, according to the police, will be taken through the due disciplinary process of the Ghana Police Service. And then after that, they will take a decision on them as far as their future in the service is concerned. So we have a lot more to discuss on the limited voter registration exercise because the NDC, they've taken on the police. They are not happy with what they describe as selective application of the law regarding the arrest of Collins Dauda. This morning was taken to court, granted bail. The matter is still pending. Collins Dauda is accused of disrupting the electoral process. The NDC said that he was nowhere near the scene that recorded the violence, and it's unhappy the police took this action. We'll hear from them very shortly. Whilst we also take you to the Electoral Commission's office for that news conference, updating us on what they've done so far, and also reacting to concerns raised by the NDC, demanding that they are giving the serial numbers of the BVR machines that they are using for the limited registration exercise, plus other issues raised by the NDC and other concerns raised by parties interested or parties connected to the limited registration. So we have all that coming your way pretty shortly. But before we do that, there's something in Osage II has cautioned government and political actors to stay vigilant against activities that may disrupt the fairness of the 2024 elections. According to the Asante Kingdom, the country's past experiences with elections must be a lesson to continue upholding the peace and stability devoid of violence. Whilst marking the 25th anniversary celebration, the Asante Kingdom served notice to stakeholders to safeguard the integrity of the electoral process. Nana Bwashi Adam has a wrap from the climax of the Silver Jubilee celebration that ended in Kumasi over the weekend.
A Kwasidai Festival is being celebrated by the Ashantis every 6 weeks, that is according to the Ashanti calendar. But it is the prerogative of the Ashanti Hindu to determine which Akwasidai he would call the Adai Kese. Well, he calls today the Adai Kese, the day he is celebrating his 25th anniversary. Dignitaries from across the world joined the Ashanti Hindu 2 Forces to the 2nd to celebrate his 25th anniversary here at Jabrim Adhemenshia Palace.
Your Royal Majesty, you have consistently emphasized your commitment to the fraternal ties that link Trinidad and Tobago to Ghana. Your leadership has stimulated increased collaboration between our countries, which offer mutually beneficial trade and economic opportunities to aid in a mutual development.
Even celebrating his 25th anniversary, the Asantini has sent a word of caution to political actors.
This year, the election year, our political leaders are already on the campaign trail, and there's yet many months of intense and combative campaigning ahead. After all our past experiences, I remain sanguine that our democracy is safe. Nonetheless, we need to remind ourselves that we cannot take things for granted, and we must be alert to avoid anything that has the potential to derail the electoral process. People need the right environment in which they can make informed choices in the interest of the nation. May we forever drink from the fountain of peace, and may our efforts in the years ahead be crowned with the grace of the living God.
Today, the Sikeja Kofi is out. The golden stool of the Ashanti Kingdom is out. Dignitaries from across the world joined the Asantehene to celebrate the Silver Jubilee. His Excellency, the President of the Republic, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, with the Vice President and other government functionaries, also joined the celebration.
I think his greatest legacy and achievement on the occasion of this Silver Jubilee of his ascension to the Golden Stool, in my respectful view, is the resolution of the crisis in Gabon and the role he played, the fortitude, the tenacity, and the wisdom and courage with which he brought to bear. I think it's highly commendable, and that's why we are all here to celebrate him and to salute him.
For President Akufo-Addo, the Asantini has shown loyalty to the Ashanti Kingdom and Ghana at large.
I was present at Kumasi Sports Stadium on that day when, with a state sword in his hand and his kutukuni cloth wrapped around his waist, Bama Kwakudia swore to uphold the traditions and paths charted by his 15 predecessors and to continue to make Asante mine a model traditional state in our country. By all accounts, he has lived and continues to live up to this noble undertaking. For a quarter of a century, the 2 Forces to 2 Seconds has served as a symbol of unity, progress, and tradition for the Asante Kingdom, and indeed for the entire nation of Ghana.
The Adai Kese brings us to the end of the first and second session of the 25th anniversary celebration of the Asantehene Otun Force 82 the second. Well, in November, we'll be having the third session, which will climax the entire anniversary celebration. For Joy News, my name is Nana Buachi Dankwa Yadom, Kumasi.
I will say congratulations to Asantehene on the 25th anniversary of his instrument on the Golden Stool. And remember, he touched more on the upcoming 2024 elections in December and the need for the country to work to preserve the unity that exists in the country. And of course, you know that the Electoral Commission has started a process towards the holding of the elections. And one of the key issues they are doing is the registration of first-time voters onto the voters' roll. And that exercise started last week. It is in the second week, if you like. But already it's been characterized by violence and arrests and, of course, all kinds of skirmishes that, you know, is making the whole exercise look a bit, you know, unsatisfactory. But the EC, they've got a response and to update the nation on what they've done so far and the way forward. But yesterday, the police made an arrest, and no other person than a member of parliament for Asuna for Colin Zelda. Now, this has sparked anger in the NDC, with a party accusing the police of being malicious. The police arrested Colin Zelda in connection with a clash which erupted in Kukuom in the Ahafo region on Saturday. The NDC insists Mr. Zelda was nowhere near Kukuom. The party is accusing the police of selectively targeting its members. Colin Zelda has been released on bail this morning. The police in the statement explained the reason for the arrest. And this is what the police is saying, that they arrested the member of parliament for Asunafo South, Honorable Colin Zelda, for his alleged involvement in the disturbance which occurred at Kukuom in the Ahafo region during the ongoing limited voter registration exercise on Saturday, 11th May, 2024. Now, the police statement goes on to say that one person sustained injury and is currently receiving treatment at the hospital. The police are in pursuit of other suspects in connection with the incident. So it's not only Colin Zelda who is a target of police investigation, but the police say that they are in pursuit of other suspects in connection with the incident. All right, so let's get some reactions here, because the NDC have taken a position of this matter. They made it clear that they find the police action malicious. Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Musa Bogbande, joins us with more on this, you know, developing story. Mr. Bande, good afternoon. Welcome to the port. So, first of all, before we get into the arrest of Colin Zelda, perhaps you can tell me the party's overall appreciation of what has been done so far by the EC as far as the limited voter registration is concerned, and whether we are satisfied with the steps taken and how the exercise is going.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. Basically, we have been speaking about arrangements that the Electoral Commission have put in place.
Right.
I.e. issues of standby generator. But I mean, Sisala West now, Sisala East, and one of their biggest challenge has been the network. So they are not able to proceed with registration as it ought to be.
What about the offline that the EC says? Are they not taking advantage of that?
Come again.
I asked about the offline that the police says they should do. Are they not taking advantage of the offline option?
Well, Dumso is not an offline matter. Offline only comes when the network is not working. So that is one challenge. Number two, students having to come and queue at various registration centers, unable to register, will have to go and come back the following day. The exercise is grossly unincentivizing for the ordinary Ghanaian, contrary to their pursuit and resolve that they all want to and are willing to register and to be part of selection of their next president of Ghana. What is even disturbing is the fact that today, apart from all the challenges and the bottlenecks EC is putting together, it has also failed to be consistent and coherent in terms of what it puts out. Yesterday, just compilation of figures, registration across the country, Electoral Commission is still making mistakes, avoidable mistakes. Places where we had 19,000, the EC is quoting 25,000.
Which they have corrected.
But why should we have that mistake in the first place? Because stakes are very high. Somebody will just sit at the headquarters, key in figures. That one too is difficult for the Electoral Commission. So that is when we say that they are playing with the stakes that are involved in this exercise. And so they have a room to improve. And I always know that the Electoral Commission and its commissioners can perform, but except that they are not willing to perform.
Right.
Just last week, in the midst of this registration and all the controversies, we found the director of IT of the Electoral Commission in a rally with Dr. Mahmoud Baumia. What was he doing there? Don't you think it raises credibility issues to the processes that are ongoing that the director of IT is in a meeting with one of the players or one of the teams that are going into the race? The last one, is the security infractions that we are facing, where it happened in Mankransu yesterday, 3 days ago, and then at Sunafu yesterday. These are all situations where the NDC and its agent have challenged people who are minors. And then MPP functionaries go to bars to bring boys armed to come and assault people at registration centers. Is that a solution misunderstanding?
But the issue of busing, we are getting allegations from every quarter, from every house, from the NDC, from the MP. Looks like
No, busing is done. I mean, it is political parties who are doing the busing. And we all know that. But for political parties who have nothing like registration exercise. But the criminal busing is the one that they are busing from other constituencies and bringing people who are not ordinary residents to come and register for the purposes of data gerrymandering. That is the one I am talking about. Right. And then in Mankransu, for example, they were about to register minors. Our agents refused, only for them to go and mobilize the parliamentary candidate, to mobilize people to come and attack NDC officers there. In Esusifinof, a whole day, bandits have taken over the constituency and registration center. They won't allow any NDC member to get registered. And we know this because of the busing. Definitely when you go and bus people, they are your people. Until the police had to call for reinforcement, even that, they were not successful. And then party supporters and other citizens came in to disperse this group. Then we ended at the point where we are, where the police have to issue a statement that I call very populist, very alarmist, and it does not, it's not consequential to the reality on the ground about Honorable Collins Dauda. If there were bandits that you couldn't control, they are potential suspects. And so the victims of these bandits are rather the ones you are looking for while the bandits are walking around. And then because you saw a pickup at the place having posters of Alhaji Collins Dauda, you make him a prime suspect. Is that policing? When did we graduate to this level of policing?
But on that score, he was taken to court today, granted bail. So at best, we should allow the law to take its course. If he's innocent, I'm sure that will be established in court.
Well, I don't think that when you take people to court is a finality to your matter. At the end of the day, you can take him to the Supreme Court. But you would have a responsibility to prove beyond reasonable doubt your case. And we know there are a number of cases where they are concocted stories. We go and the prosecution is unable to produce evidence. So taking somebody to court, the statement they did they write the same statement about the Mankransu case when the police were seen running away for their lives? Did they arrest those people? And so if the people who react to a particular criminal action are being taken to court, then next time they parade themselves to come and do what they do, we will not even wait for the police to have a cause to complain.
But each and everyone would have to defend themselves.
But
Mustafa, in the same breath, I'm sure you've also followed the police reaction to some of these, you know, cases. In Adujama, for example, the police have taken steps. They've interdicted 3 police officers who were there, and according to the police, failed to do their duties professionally. So the police is working, are they not?
It is not interdicting poor police officers who were there and are not armed. And criminals who came there wielding cutlasses and guns is not enough. The parliamentary candidate there should be arrested. The MPP officers who brought these guys should be arrested. Just as they are pursuing Collins Dauda, they should go and pursue him.
At this stage, it was an open violence. Why are you blaming the MPP for this?
It was not an open violence. Some people definitely came there to meet others. It was not an open violence. And the police should do their checks well. So interdicting officers is not enough.
So where you are right now, Sisala, you've raised the concerns that they have, the challenges that they are facing, making it difficult for them to register as many people as possible. Do you understand or do you have information as to what you are doing to address this challenge so that people who've been
having a meeting with the Electoral Commission officers to address those challenges. We are also aware that they tried to bring in Fulanis to come and register. We have driven all of them away. Right. And we have encouraged our party supporters not to be violent, but to ensure that no foreigner is allowed to register a single name in the ongoing exercise. So we are under full control and observing the exercise. how did they go?
All right, Mustafa, I'll come back to you to ask you about what the party is doing to ensure there's sanity in the system. I know IPAC meeting is coming up pretty shortly. What concerns are you taking to IPAC? But let me bring your colleague on the other side, Haruna Mohammed, who is the Deputy General Secretary of the MPP. Haruna, satisfied with the way things have turned out so far, apart from the violence and the skirmishes that we've witnessed in some of the constituencies?
Okay. I think that what we are seeing now is as a result of some reckless statements that have been made by the NDC. And this was made by my colleague, with all due respect, Mustafa Bandi. He has told his people to go to the polling centers with cutlasses and machetes. This is the result. They went Makrasu, and then they perpetrated this violent activity he's putting into our party people. The MPP has doesn't use those particular attacks. We're not going to call it. And we'll never do that. And this is what he himself, I think, should regret for making.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500, hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
He's saying that you come for all. Look, my brother, following that way with elections, you win elections based on your act, and your act that reflects civilly in the elections. So for us, we call on citizens, terror warriors, what are they doing? The move is a full of that.
I think the connection to you is beginning to act up. I don't know if you can reposition yourself well so we can hear you clearly. Haruna Mohammed, Deputy General Secretary of the MPP. The line is not doing well. I don't know if you can hear me well now.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
It's better now. Please go on.
Yes, I'm saying that what we are witnessing now is the result of a reckless statement that was made by my colleague, Mustafa Bandi, that people should go to polling centers, cutlass, machete. Today, Pascal Sweet goes to cutlass, machete, and yet, Colin Fowler, the man, went and at polling centers and he was arrested because of that is linked up to the crime. The end will never stop violence. Let me remind you that the democracy we have today does not accommodate violence. And if they continue to perpetrate that, Ghanaians will pull them by the fight. And that's what for them. We have faced them contract from them. We have written verdicts, we contributed to transparency in Mexico, we contributed to biometric and we contributed to peaceful resolution by going to Supreme. So we are never this. And this is what I want the end to do. You should stop making statements. That six states that if anything happens, they are sick to come. You should remind what we rule over people. We don't rule over dead people. We rule over people, but not people. Let us develop choices statements that can make. Let us get faith in get power and think things that will not equal well to of this. The most correct, and we must discuss.
But how now? What really is the motivation behind passing people to registration centers to register?
So let me clear this. There is nowhere in our law books where there is illegal passing. There is nowhere in our law books where there is illegal passing. Go and read CI 91. Go and read Regulation 1101. It tells you those who are ordinary residents and who are rich, the principle of people at the same extent of the same one. It tells you that there is no fair illegal in our law. You have the right fair here to look at the registration to challenge the registration any member. You have the right
actually, you don't have right to exercise an override of two. Describe something that you don't have right over than it. You cannot do that. If you check on the set of timber or
Is it to admit that you are bashing people and you are saying that nothing illegal about it?
I am telling you that there is no illegal thing to happen in the court. Remember that you put that and not get to all the police. It is a big thing. So, I can't do if I'm in, and I'm doing and I'm not in book. I'm in Tamil. Why walk to register? I have to enter back. Look, they have to understand that democracy is something we have to all need in. Look, they should stop aligning themselves to thinking that they are winning power in 2024. This is what is driving them. They should stop it. Because it is not going to send them anywhere. Let us all jojo and get to the right place. And that is what is going to give all of us a peaceful mind and a peaceful country.
The issue is about to address the nation on what they've done so far. I mean, what would be your expectation in terms of suggestions to improve the system even better?
In terms of improving the system better, I think that it is aligned to the entire of Africa. We need to get a very good network system, not just only in Ghana. We need to get a very good network system that is going to be built on robust systems that is going to support every exercise that is linked up to a network system. Secondly, I think that the Electoral Commission has to look at these systems that they are using, test them over time to be able to ascertain the veracity and the explosive manner in which this particular system can work. Right. It looks like there is so much risk when all systems are at once. So they need to start it. And in IT management, so the fact you look at particular matters, test them and start to do it in correct way. The electoral system are where we are now. I am up to the spot. We are not satisfied with the way in manner this particular situation is ongoing. And if that aspect will stay that job, that is the court by the approach. We have only them, the only people, civil man, we are dead. We have to expect it. And then if for that, the court has to, we have to force, to put on a put on. That is better we all have concrete people. So
All right, thank you very much. Haruna Mohammed is Deputy General Secretary of the MPP. Let me bring in Mustapha Gbande for his final thoughts on this matter before I bring in Dr. Betodoke, a security analyst. So, Mustapha, you've heard your colleague. He's made some suggestions that you think that if implemented, we'll have a smooth sailing. What would be your recommendation, if I may ask, as we enter into week two of this exercise?
Thank you very much. I think that I will not descend to the level that my brother have gone, because he simply doesn't have intelligence on the ground. And I believe that this is an exercise. We as politicians are not fighting and killing each other. Mohammed is a brother to me. And so why do you then encourage people to go to the grassroots with weapons and cutlasses and then to go and beat colleagues?
He's also accusing of doing same.
Say that again.
I'm saying that he's accusing the NDC of doing same.
Well, on the record of all the two major cases we have had so far, you know that on the face of the facts, it is not NDC who have brought tags to the place. And so that should be on the record. I just think that, one, let us allow people who are 18 years, who are Ghanaians, who are ordinarily resident to a particular place, to go and register in order to vote. It's as simple as that. And I always say that in the face of disorder, the only hope that the ordinary Ghanaian has is in the police to forestall order. Let the police be in the position to arrest anyone who is found trying to tamper with the law. And I believe that will serve a lot of deterrence to the system. Again, in terms of credibility of the commission, if the commission demonstrates credibility and professionalism, bringing stakeholders to the table for a common discussion and a common goal, it would diminish the heightened level of suspicion. But unfortunately, I doubt if the current crop of electoral commissioners are willing to do the country justice and are willing to do the country which is good. That is the only reason we find ourselves here. And then also, persons like His Excellency the President, who are of high pedigree, will begin to de-escalate their commentaries, which are most times comments that raises suspicion and eyebrows. For example, if the president walks about and goes to every place he gets to and say, I will hand over power to the person I have defeated, what is he talking about? Then people will be suspecting that there's a foul play. Then the stakes will get high. Then tension will follow. We will be at where we find ourselves now. It's an election. Somebody will lose, somebody will win. If the government have worked hard, why are they trying every means possible to skew the election illegally? Why are they trying to suppress data? We should go through a smooth process, have the process completed, go through voting. Whoever wins becomes the ruling party of the country. It's as simple as that.
Mustafa, thank you very much. We stay safe in Sisala, and we'll get back to you as and when there's a development on this matter. But we're also waiting to hear from the Electoral Commission, because they have an update for the nation. Before we do that, though, let me bring in Dr. Victor Docker, a security analyst, on what has happened so far regarding the limited voter registration exercise. Doctor, it's a pleasure to have you here on the Pulse. You've been monitoring the exercise. What will be your initial comments?
Well, thank you very much. First of all, my general comments about this exercise, well, it's one of the processes leading to a general election, which is expected, where citizens at the age of 18 will have to go and then register, and then so they can also exercise their franchise when the day comes. And you main political parties who definitely would like to some sort of like control the process. By that I mean, need to is that either party does not come in with minors to register, and we've seen it in areas, we've experienced in areas where those some of these minors have been brought in, have been identified, and then it created some skirmishes. Now, what is going to happen is, we're looking at what the Electoral Commission would do with regards to addressing these kind of issues.
Right.
Okay. You have IPAC, Inter-Party Address Committee. What exactly is the purpose of IPAC at this critical moment?
I understand that before the limited voter registration exercise, there was no IPAC meeting. It is not that you are hoping to have one.
Well, that's one of the challenges. They should have had a meeting where issues such as these will be ironed out. Because if you have a meeting where all stakeholders are involved and then you iron out issues that may come up, then you are better prepared for the eventuality. Now, since that didn't happen, then it means that this came as a surprise, which shouldn't be worrying much from our perspective, because then we knew per happenings, per indications, statements that people from both political divides have made, that there's something going to happen. And people would like to take advantage of the situation. Okay? So, one, IPAC should meet immediately and iron out these issues, because when you're talking about the fair, free election, these issues are one. Why so? You need to give all the stakeholders the assurance that the process will be free and fair. But when you have a process which is not free and fair, there's going to be mistrust, there's going to be suspicions, and now the suspicions will lead to anger, agitations from whoever thinks they are being on the losing side, and then it can create violence.
So, Doctor, to what extent should this give us a wake-up call? Knowing very well, this is just one small aspect of the process. The bigger picture is about to happen. And even this one, managing this is becoming an issue. To the extent that the MPs have been arrested, we are seeing pockets of violence in certain constituencies, and we have more days to go. So every day presents a new concern. And this is just a small wake-up call. How worried should we be as we head towards December?
Well, we should be very worried, because now in other jurisdictions...
Yeah. Yeah, please go on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we lost you briefly, but you can go on.
In other jurisdictions where we've had election-related violence, okay, the before, the during, and after is essential. Now, this is the before, which cannot be ignored. Now, let's remember last year, the Election Security Task Force was reactivated. One of their duties is to look out for these issues, these incidences, and then address them. Okay, now, I'm expecting to hear more from the task force per se. In this case, the police are taking over the situation, but then they should be more robust in dealing with these allegations of tax, okay, being brought in by some political heads for their own purposes. Because if we don't, what can happen is these same tax that are being brought in will now be engaged by the political heads on the big day. And you can't have that. Then you are looking at a widespread violence which can disrupt the process altogether. You can't have it. So the earlier the task force deals with these issues, the better. And I think going forward, there should be more personnel on the ground, if there aren't, so they can tackle these tasks once and for all. But then other than that, what can happen is you'd have pockets of these violence, you have pockets of tasks disturbing the process, and you wouldn't be able to manage it.
All right. Let me ask a final question, and it's about the conduct of the Electoral Commission and the police, and whether you are okay with the way they've conducted themselves so far. First, the Electoral Commission, they had to move to offline because they had challenges with internet, and then also at some point they've done after going offline, they now had to change some figures they had communicated to the public regarding how much people they had registered from the first, second, third, and the fourth day. The police, they've made some arrests. They've also taken action against some of their personnel for not acting right when violence broke out in one of the constituencies. These two very important state organizations, supposed to be very neutral, transparent, and credible in the discharge of their duties, the way they've conducted themselves so far, does it give you confidence of a system that is apolitical?
Well, first of all, they're easy. In every jurisdiction, we expect that the Electoral Commission will be apt with regards to preparation, the process. Now, we've heard reports where men's, which are supposed to be in custody of the may have gone somewhere it's not supposed to and all that. These are issues that cause for concern. And then you build the trust that people, the citizens, have in the Electoral Commission. Now, as the major stakeholder in the electoral process, one would just hope that in preparing for exercises like this, you would have everything in place. Everything, I mean, your equipment, machines, art, and everything that will enhance the smooth process. So people would not have to come out and accuse you or make statements that connotes that you are not capable of managing this simple exercise.
Right.
So what they have to do is to look at what they can do in terms of if there are shortages or lapses with regards to equipment or internet or whatever, it should be fixed earlier. Because these things, if not looked at, would then cause agitations, especially where we have two main parties where the perception is when one party is in power, then they have some sort of link with the electoral commission. How can we ensure that as a body, an important body like this will stay apolitical? Then our processes, our communication has to be transparent for each party to now fit and then disseminate to their followers.
Right.
This is very key. But once the followers are looking at some issues that do not go well in terms of preparations like this, fixes like this, then you are would expect that to cause some kind of agitations.
All right.
Now, with regards to the police, I think going forward, what we can do is
If we need to grow the capacity, we do that. Enhance the knowledge. We have to partner with other security agencies. See a smooth running of these processes. We do that. And then we can have a very, very free and fair process. Because we cannot have a general election that is filled with agitations, that is filled with trust, and all of that. Mm. To have a free and fair election is equal to the peace and security that we'll continue to enjoy after the past event.
All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Victor Docker is a security analyst, and he's sharing his perspective on the matter at hand this afternoon. Let me bring in the Deputy General Secretary of the MPP, Haruna Mohammed, to give him the last words on this conversation. Haruna, so you've heard your colleague in the NDC, you heard the security analyst. What is your final thoughts on the matter?
Yes, I've heard my colleague. He's my brother. He's coming from Tatali constituency. I'm coming from Zabdugu constituency. I want to make reference. He made a certain statement with regards to people going to the pools, citizens with machetes and what have you, is complaining. If you check on 21st December 2023, Ghana Web, he himself says, I go to the polling stations fully armed. That was he, Mustafa Bandi, who I told the NDC people. On 27th of December, the national organizer of the NDC came to reaffirm the position of the Deputy General Secretary. Same statement had been carried by Ghana Politics Online, been carried by Graphic Online, when you have been investigated on some of his comments. So if it is happening today and he finds it very terrible, it means that it is something that was not good at all, very difficult, and this is the first of the statement he made. So I call on him and myself to be very worried, very, very stupid statements that he takes. We need to cut this track as country can, and that is up to it. One commentary needs to look at what generates his party to a technical talk, and they are fully suspected. Secondly, he said that those managed allowed rich. The constitution of this country is very clear. Thanks to this rich, we have managed who are made up of this country. We have managed who are farmers of this country. We've known many of them who have contributed to this. They have planned who are in talent today. We have planned who are contributed to both political parties. So for you to say that those managed allowed register is very clear. And for, I don't have to keep that part. Let's scrutinize everybody's this. Either we would get that or not. To single out tribe, on land, say that we allow criticism. That is not, and that's not the need. And for in my conclusion, where I want the opportunity to call on the citizens of this country that the Democrats are living fully. Those who have not reached the ages, those who have reached the of age, get that apart. Who have not reached for their to take the opportunity to go and register as is right in the National Constitution, and the Electoral Commission has provided the avenue for them. They should not fear, they should not be intimidated. They should go and register and make a better choice for this country. And I believe that we can only achieve that when we all sit together as stakeholders and agree to make sure that we stay strictly to the rules that govern every registration and every elections in the country.
I thank you very much for your time. Haruna Mohammed is Deputy General Secretary of the MPP. And we'll take you live to the Electoral Commission's office when the Commission is ready for that live update on the limited voter registration exercise. But now, we'll take a short break here on The Pulse, and we shall return with more here on The Pulse. To the pause here on Joy. Now, I can now take you live to the headquarters of the Electoral Commission as they update the nation on the limited voter registration exercise.
For always supporting the Commission to send its messages across to the people of this country and beyond. The Commission is also pleased with the work of our officials, both permanent and temporary in the regions and the districts who implement the decisions of the Commission. As a leading election management body in sub-Saharan Africa and certainly beyond, because of our many years of meeting global benchmarks in elections management, we are committed to always ensuring that our processes promote the collective good of the country's democracy. Indeed, our motto, transparency, fairness, and integrity, has been guiding all the activities we undertake, including in matters that have indirect bearing on elections. such as in procurement and even in auction of our items. The 2024 voters registration exercise began on Tuesday, the 7th of May, at all the 268 district offices of the Commission, selected electoral areas, and some public universities. The Commission again regrets the technical challenges that registrants encountered in the first 2 days of the registration exercise. As a Commission, we did what we had to do by putting measures in place to ensure a smooth registration experience for our compatriots who have just turned 18 since the last registration exercise, and those for whom one reason or the other have not been able to register as voters. We wish to use this opportunity to tell the political parties and Ghanaians in general that the technical challenges we had have been resolved, and the Commission believes anyone who wants to register as a voter should be able to do so in his or her district. The Commission welcomes constructive criticisms from the political parties and the civil society organizations that will go a long way to strengthen our work. Offline registration. Following the reports that came to the attention of the Commission on the second day of the registration exercise, we took the decision to direct our staff to switch to the offline registration mode to ensure all applicants in the queues get the opportunity to register. As a Commission, we prefer the online registration to the offline version because the online system ensures that those who have registered as voters do not get your chance to register again. The online system prevents double registration. However, with the offline registration, because the data is transferred after the registration, you can have instances where registered voters go to the registration centers to register again. At times, too, because people have lost their voters' card or they have forgotten where they registered as voters or have relocated, they try to register again. In these instances, our system will later identify their registration as double, thus making them ineligible to vote in the elections. We want to use this Let the Citizen Know platform to urge all those who registered either in the 2020 mass registration exercise or in the 2023 limited registration exercise not to attempt to register again as voters. Such persons will not be able to vote in the 2024 general elections. Discrimination. The Commission has no intention of favoring any particular regions, constituencies, or zones in this registration exercise. All such commentaries implying that the Commission has sent bad equipment to certain parts of the country or frustrating the registration exercise in some regions or constituencies are championed by persons who are completely ignorant of the processes of the Electoral Commission or by persons who deliberately want to undermine the reputation and the recognition the EC enjoys in the eyes of those who understand our processes. The Commission understands that the right to register as a voter is a fundamental political right that must be protected for all Ghanaians who are at least 80 years old and meet the requirements for registration. Consequently, it's unfortunate that some will accuse the Commission of discriminating against a section of Ghanaians in the registration exercise. We wish to use this medium to again assure all Ghanaians that the Commission is committed to ensuring that all qualified persons get onto the voters register and vote in the December 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. It is in our interest to do so, and we take pride in the high percentage of our population who are registered as voters. Minors and non-Ghanaians. We continue to receive reports that minors and non-Ghanaians are being encouraged by certain persons who are members of political parties to register as voters. The Commission has seen a report from the Western region, specifically in Impoho, where some two persons who allegedly facilitated the registration of five minors have been apprehended by the police. We wish to use this opportunity to urge parents especially to dissuade their children who are less than 18 years from registering as voters. Similarly, we beseech the national leadership of the political parties to discourage the executives in the regions and the constituencies from transporting minors and foreigners to the registration centers. The objective of the Commission, as always, has been to have a credible register for the 2024 elections and beyond. We believe the political parties, as the main stakeholders in the general election, must be dedicated to supporting a credible register as well. As a result, we find attempts by parties to support the registration of minors and foreigners as completely unacceptable, and it is aimed at undermining the country's electoral democracy. We urge the police to apply the laws on those who have been apprehended to serve as a deterrent to others in the enterprise of facilitating the registration of minors and foreigners. We want to urge children who are less than 18 years that it is against the law for them to register as voters. Children, don't allow anyone to tell you to go and register and vote in the December 2024 elections if you are not 18 years. We have also noticed that the disturbances occurring at some of our registration centers is due to the fact that some people are doubting the ages of some of the applicants. This is the reason why the Commission has been advocating for the usage of the Ghana card, which has the date of birth and the nationality of the bearers of the card, and the abolition of the guarantor system. We are hopeful that in the next registration exercise, applicants will use the Ghana card as the means of identification. Let me use this medium to remind the agents of the political parties and the general public that the challenge system embedded in the registration exercise allows the agents and those who qualify to register as voters to challenge applicants who believe are not qualified to register as voters. It is not your duty to physically prevent someone from registering. What you have to do is to go through the challenge process. Now, the regional breakdown of the registration so far. At the end of day 6 of the registration exercise, the following are the figures for each region. Greater Accra, 33,899, representing 13.5%. Northeast Region, 6,928, representing 2.8%. Upper East, 10,646, representing 4.2%. Northern, 19,491, 7.8%. Bono Region, 8,972, 3.6%. Bono East, 9,681, 3.9%. Volta, 12,190, 4.9%. Upper West, 8,474, 3.4%. Eastern, 25,625, 10.2%. Central, 27,984, 11.1%. Ahafo, 6,273, 2.5%. Ashanti, 44,232, 17.6%. Western North, 9,134, 3.6%. Oti, 7,259, 2.9%. Savannah, 5,261, 2.1%. Western, 15,100, 6.0%. The national total is 251,149. The national total is 251,149. Meaning the commission has been doing an average of 45,000 per day. Now let's look at some dynamics in this registration. Females and males registration. A pattern that has become a regular feature of this registration since the first day is that nationally we are seeing more females registering than males. So of the total 251,149, females alone constitute 135,898, which is 54.11%. And males are 115,251, which is 45.89%. First-time voters, those between the ages of 18 and 21, constitute the majority of registered voters in all the 16 regions. Nationally, they represent 88.02%. That is 221,066 of the total number of registered voters so far. Persons with disabilities. At the end of the census, we've registered 400 persons with disabilities. These are the regional distribution of the persons with disabilities. Greater Accra, 33, Northeast, 13, Upper East, 19, Northern, 25, Bono, 108, Bono East, 13, Volta, 14, Upper West, 11, Eastern, 20, Central, 37, Ahafo, 37, no, Central, 37, Ahafo, 4, Ashanti, 27, Western North, 9, Oti, 20, Savannah, 6, Western, 21. So this figure of the total is 382, which constitutes 0.13% of the total number of registered voters. Now let's look at the forms of identification. The guarantor system continues to dominate the forms of identification used in the 2024 registration exercise, as in the 2023 exercise. This is something the Commission is not proud of because it is used by political parties and certain persons to facilitate the registration of unqualified persons such as minors and foreigners. The current confusion at the registration centers is attributable to the guarantor system. Because we are seeing many people who others are alleging they are minors and you are trying to register. And others are also insisting that we think you are not 18 years. So the table below shows the total figures and the percentages of the forms of identification for the first 5 days of the registration exercise. The Ghana card so far has been used by 98,926 applicants, constituting 39.39%. The passport has been used by 622 applicants, constituting 0.25%. The guarantor system has been used by 151,601 applicants, constituting 60.36%. Challenge cases. The challenge cases for the first 6 days of the exercise appear to be evenly distributed, although the numbers are high in some regions and low as well in other regions. In nominal terms, the Greater Accra region has the highest with 524 challenge cases, and the Northeast has the lowest with 9. As a percentage of the total registered in each region, the Volta region has the highest at 4.29%, and the Northeast has 0.13%, which is the lowest. The following are the challenge cases in each region. Greater Accra, 524. Northeast, 9. Upper East, 37. Northern, 130. Bono, 43. Bono East, 126. Volta, 523. Upper West, 106. Eastern, 400. Central, 274. Ahafo, 117. Ashanti, 341. Western North, 53. Oti, 140. Savannah, 37. Western, 75, giving us a national total of 2,935, constituting 1.17% of the total registered number of applicants. In conclusion, the Commission wishes to thank the media for their regular updates on the registration exercise. We know some of the media houses are focused on only the challenges, but a number of you have been highlighting the success of the exercise. We plead with you to use your platform to speak against the attempt by political parties and certain individuals to register minors and non-Ghanaians. Finally, I will say may God, the good Lord bless our homeland Ghana and make our nation great and strong. Thank you for giving us the needed attention. Let's go with the questions. All. I'm sorry, the commission planning for
the great source of power.
Due to the Electoral Commission's update on the voter limited voter registration exercise and the figures that they've recorded so far, the challenging procedure, and other things that they have so far uncovered. And I'm sure that in subsequent bulletins we'll have more for you as the EC continues to update the nation on this matter. But before we go, popular American musician, songwriter, and record producer Stevelan Hardaway Morris, known professionally as Stevie Wonder, has taken up a Ghanaian citizenship today at the Jubilee House. Now, Wonder is one of the best-selling music artists of all time, with sales of about 100 million records worldwide. He has also won 25 Grammys awards, the most by a male solo artist. Some few, around in the morning, the Ghanaian citizenship was conferred on him by President Akufo-Addo at the Jubilee House.
The truth is, I'm committed to, as now a Ghanaian citizen, being a part of fulfilling the dream that we've had for so many years of bringing people of Africa, those of the diaspora, United States, Caribbean, all the people together. Because as I said, and I've said for many years, the only way the world will come together is that we unite as the united people of the world. So living in America, I started, but I'm not done. I'm here to do this, to bring us together, all people of all nations, because I know that we are the original people of the planet. So it is only fitting for us to bring our children together, all of them, all of the colors and all that, of which I've never seen the colors, but I've seen the colors of people, their hearts. And I'm wanting us to come together as one people. It's not impossible. As I did believe there would be someday a national holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King, I do believe that we will have a united people of the world. And I am so very honored that I was able to recently receive an honorary degree from a school that, a university that President Kwame Nkrumah studied, and that is at Lincoln University.
So Stevie Wonder, now a Ghanaian. Let's also listen to President Akufo-Addo before the conferment.
From his timeless classics that have become anthems of hope and inspiration, to his tireless advocacy for the rights of persons with disabilities, Stevie Wonder has touched the lives of countless individuals and left an indelible mark on our collective consciousness. By conferring Ghanaian citizenship on him, we not only recognize his immense talent and achievements, but also acknowledge his deep connection to the African continent and his tireless efforts to promote unity, solidarity, and cultural exchanges among all peoples of African descent. His decision to become a citizen of Ghana is a testament to his profound respect and admiration for our nation's history, culture, and values. As we welcome Stevie Wonder into the Ghanaian family, let us draw inspiration from his legacy and strive to build a future where creativity flourishes, diversity is celebrated, and the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood transcend all differences. His welcome represents a vivid manifestation of the goals of the Year of Return, which we commemorated in 2019, as a bridge between the African peoples on both sides of the Atlantic. In conferring Ghanaian citizenship upon Stevie Wonder, we not only extend our warmest embrace to a beloved son of Africa, but also reaffirm our belief in the enduring spirit of Pan-Africanism and the global African family, and the boundless potential of our continent and all its descendants. Today's ceremony brings starkly to mind a favorite and off-cited statement of the famous Jamaican reggae star Peter Tosh, who once said, quite rightly, and I quote, "Don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African," unquote. On behalf of the government and people of Ghana, I extend to you, Mr. Stevie Wonder, our heartfelt congratulations and warmest welcome as a citizen of our beloved nation. May your journey as a Ghanaian be filled with joy, fulfillment, and the rich blessings of our common ancestors.
Right, so that's our show for today, Monday. It's a rainy Monday, so wherever you are, please take care of yourself. For more stories, log on to our website, myjoyonline.com. Some stories, MPs serves as ministers, Kodia Foko can head NIB as parliamentary candidate, city can only stabilize temporarily, but will keep on depreciating. That's Professor Bobkin. And BOD gives government money to chop, and then we are burdened with high taxes. That's Ken Thompson. More stories over at joyonline.com. My name is Elton Broby. LTS is up next on Joy News. Whatever you are up to in the hours ahead, I hope it's profitable. I'll see you tomorrow, same time, for another exciting edition of The Pulse. Have a good evening.